Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies, if your boyfriend isn't listening to Beastbeck,
Brian Spector,
then reach over, grab his knob, and turn it low.
We ready! We ready! We ready!
Football fans, it's that time for the NFL Spectacular with Beastbeck, Brian Spector.
You know, big papi.
If you want to get in on the show, then dial 347-945-6275. Or, for all you computer nerds, you can go online at NFLDraftBible.com.
Spector always delivers what he promises.
He's your resident football expert.
Are you serious?
Nelson couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
He's the king of the combine.
The guy runs the 40-yard dash in 4.4 ever.
He's the voice of the angry fan.
If that happens, I might as well go hang myself with wax dental floss.
He's Beastbeck, Brian Spector.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yes!
I'm absolutely, without a doubt, a true believer.
And he's on right now on the All Access Football Network.
Shut your pie hole! We're working here!
Let's get her!
You know what's funny is every time I see the footage of the Dallas Cowboys practice bubble going down, my heart just stops. Just a complete tragic event. And you hear of all of what happened, a couple coaches getting injured, one coach paralyzed from the waist down. Folks, that's as tragic as it gets. Brian Spector with you. The NFL Spectacular is on the air. We're going to take you the next hour. And I want to get your thoughts. Your calls will drive us the next hour. This Dallas Cowboys situation, just tragic. Jerry Jones was at the Kentucky Derby when this happened. And my heart goes out to friends, family members of the Dallas Cowboys organization, staff, everybody close to the situation. I mean, just an unbelievable event, and now they're questioning the engineering departments, people that built the bubble. The storm destroyed the facility, injured 12 people. I guess it was a tornado in the Dallas area. 12 people injured, one of them paralyzed from the waist down. And we'll talk more about this Dallas Cowboys situation. Brian Spector with you. Before we get back to this situation, let's get stuff started on the right foot. And a man who knows more about the NFL, covers the AFC East on a daily basis, and that man is Tim Graham from ESPN. Tim, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
It's always my pleasure, my friend. You are always more than welcome on my show. You never even have to ask. You are the guru of the NFL, my friend.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Tim, I know you have a lot of stuff to do, so I'll get right to it. The draft was still heavy in a lot of people's minds, and you cover that AFC East. What were your thoughts overall on the four teams in that division, how they went about the draft?
Well, I think that the Patriots were the most interesting team because they were backpedaling. They went into the draft with 11 picks and seemed like they could do pretty much whatever they wanted. And a lot of people were guessing, were they going to trade up into the top 10? There were some reports on the Friday before the draft that they were angling to try to do that. Were they going to spread their picks out into 2010? What were they going to do? And what they ended up doing was something that I think people really hadn't even considered. They traded out of the first round completely, but still ended up getting some pretty good players in the second and third round. Just a very interesting draft, I think, for them, coming away with Patrick Chung, the safety from Oregon, who probably is going to be Rodney Harrison's replacement. The Buffalo Bills had a peculiar draft, I thought. You know, could be a good draft. I'm not the type of guy who will grade a draft, because, you know, I think it's a lot of hot air when you start grading players who haven't even stepped foot on an NFL field yet and really see how they're going to fit in with their team, with their surroundings, within certain systems. Some of these kids are coming out of 4-3 defenses and into a 3-4 defense, so it's tough to do. But I do think that the Bills were peculiar in that they did not draft a tackle a week after trading their Pro Bowler, Jason Peters, to the Philadelphia Eagles. They went a totally different direction, got a couple of guards, got a pass rusher that they needed. They did well. They drafted needs, but they didn't get that that tackle. And as Miami Dolphins fans know, after drafting Jake Long, a good rookie can be pretty impressive in that position, and it might be the second most important position in all of football after quarterback.
Yeah, and you know, Tim, I was going to say something as far as the Bills. You know, I'm with you, and I even mentioned this. People start handing out grades, and you could grade on paper based on a team fulfilling needs. And one thing the Bills didn't do that I thought they really needed, yes, they got some good players, but who's going to play left tackle for that team?
Exactly. And then the other thing, you know, and it, I guess I said the Bills had a peculiar draft, but maybe the most bizarre was the New York Jets. You know, they had come away with only 3 picks, which is, you know, it's they went out and got 2 guys that they really wanted, Mark Sanchez and Sean Green. So you can't fault them for that. But when you only come away with 3 players, that's going to impact your team for years in a depth situation. They're looking at filling positions with undrafted rookies where other teams have, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounders, seventh rounders that they can, you know, add to their roster. So the Jets might be feeling this year's draft, you know, for years to come from a depth standpoint. But, yeah, you're right. The Bills needed a left tackle. They didn't get one, and they chose not to get one. It wasn't like they missed out on a guy or whatever. They feel comfortable moving forward that you know, that they can make do with what they have on their roster. And they're also looking at possibly going to a no-huddle offense next year, something I wrote about late last week. One of the players on their team told me that that's what they were going to do, and they seem to have the parts in place to pull it off.
Yeah, and you know, Tim, when you look at the Bills, you can look at a great running back in Lynch, great wide receivers in T.O. and Lee Evans. But one thing the Bills have had trouble with is, you know, Trent Edwards has had some injury concerns, keeping him upright. And you can have a great running back, but if you can't run block, and you can have great receivers, and if you can't pass block, you can't get the ball to the receivers, the running back's going to have no lanes, your quarterback is going to get killed, then you're going to have T.O. start bitching and complaining like he usually does. I just
right.
think the Bills are in a bad situation.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's their potential for that, for sure. But, you know, let's tick down their skill positions. I mean, if you do, I talked to Sam Weich about it. Sam Weich is the pioneer who brought the no-huddle offense to the NFL, and he was the quarterback's coach with the Bills when Mike Mularkey was the head coach. So he knows a bit of this personnel that the Bills have right now, but he didn't work with Trent Edwards. But I was talking to him about it, and I started rattling off the names. You have Marshawn Lynch, a Pro Bowl running back, Fred Jackson, who's the backup. A lot of people really don't know him because he came out of nowhere, and a lot of people don't know that Marshawn Lynch and Fred Jackson led the NFL in receptions out of the backfield last year as a backfield duo. They added Dominic Rhodes from the Indianapolis Colts. They have Terrell Owens and Lee Evans, two, you know, a pretty good 1-2 punch, maybe up there with the best in the league in terms of 1-2 punches out there. Roscoe Parrish, Josh Reed. They drafted a tight end that they really like, Sean Nelson. You know, he's a wild card. And they have another receiver named Steve Johnson, who they're really high on, a late-round pick last year. They're trying to get on the field. And that's not even mentioning James Hardy, the huge kid out of Indiana that they drafted in the second round last year, who had a knee injury. So they have the skill positions. They're very set. Now, who's going to get them the ball? You're right. Trent Edwards is a guy with injury problems. They went out and solidified the position by getting Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, no world beater, but he did start quite a bit last year for Carson Palmer after he went down. So the kid has game experience at least. And it's a perfect situation for the Bills too, because it's been so long in that franchise that they have not had a quarterback, not controversy, but situation. You go back to the Doug Flutie, Rob Johnson stuff, J.P. Lossman, and Trent Edwards going back and forth. Trent Edwards would get hurt. J.P. Lossman would get in. It would create rifts in the locker room. Bringing in Ryan Fitzpatrick from the Bengals, he's the clear-cut number two. If Trent Edwards does get hurt, and there's a high percentage he will, just based on track record, if Ryan Fitzpatrick were to get on the field, there's nobody in that locker room that's going to be banging the drum for Ryan Fitzpatrick to remain the starter. It's a very peaceful situation at the quarterback for the Bills this year. So I know you probably didn't want to talk about Bills for the entire segment, but there's a lot of interesting stuff going on up there.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff going up in New York, and you mentioned the Jets, and Tim, you and I talk a lot, and the one thing I definitely agree with, and you can vouch for this too, the Miami Dolphins in the years of Dave Wannstedt, all they do is trade draft picks for veterans, and then you have no depth on your team, you end up being in the cellar, and I love the picks of Sean Green and Sanchez, but you made a great point, their offensive line's getting a little old, the Jets, Faneca's not a spring chicken. I guess you can say DeBrickashaw Ferguson hasn't lived up to the expectations a lot of us would expect of him. You know, you get Sanchez going to have those rookie growing pains. You have no depth, and who is Sanchez going to throw the ball to?
And Damian Woody has been a Pro Bowler. You know, he's played all the positions on the line. He's the Jets' right tackle now. Came in the league as a center, was a Pro Bowler, I think, as a guard. Played on the Super Bowl teams with the Patriots as a guard. But here he is at right tackle. You know, keep moving him out farther and farther. He's not the greatest tackle. He's getting up there in years. He's serviceable, yes, and he helps round out a pretty good offensive line. But you're right. They're getting up there in years. Nick Mangold is a stud as a center, and he's one of the best in the league. Might be their most valuable commodity on their entire offense, and that's saying something because they have a lot of talent there. But Nick Mangold is that good. But you're right. They're getting older. They're going to need to start finding reinforcements here in the next couple of years. And this draft, the fact that they only drafted three guys, they got Slauson, the kid out of Nebraska, in the sixth round. But, you know, he's considered a bit of a project. I don't really think that he's the type of guy that you want to be basing your replenishment efforts on for the future on that offensive line.
And joining us on the All Access Sports Line is Tim Graham from ESPN. You can check his terrific work on ESPN.com. Tim, I know you got stuff to do before I let you go. The Dolphins made the interesting selection of Pat White. And I know David Lee, the Dolphins quarterback coach, had Darren McFadden in Arkansas when they had the infamous Wild Hog offense. Now between Ronnie Brown, Pat White, they have a lot of different weapons, a lot of formations they can use. What do you think of that selection, number one, and what it can do? And number two, what does this mean, especially this is the success of the Wildcat, what does this do for the draft stock of guys that run that spread offense? A guy like Tim Tebow, who we didn't think has the pure passing skills to be a great quarterback, but now between H-back and this Wildcat formation, what does it do for a guy like that as well?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Brian, with really, you know, what does this mean? I don't really think we know yet. It's kind of, you know, what are the Dolphins going to do with Pat White? They insist that he's going to be a quarterback. They're going to list him as a quarterback, and they underscored that by cutting John Beck, their second-round pick, just 24 months earlier. They gave up on the guy already after they get Pat White, so you know that, you know, that's where they envision him playing. But by the same token, he's not a quarterback material, especially not as a rookie. You know, he's not NFL ready, so it's kind of a weird situation. You know that he's not going to be seeing much time at quarterback, but the Dolphins want him to learn all those quarterback plays, which is difficult enough as it is for any rookie quarterback coming in. But they want him to learn it, and then he's going to have to learn, you know, all the Wildcat stuff. He's going to have to learn how to be a receiver, routes to run, running back type stuff. So it's a tricky situation. I think they're still in that, you know, the early stages of figuring out how they're going to use him. You mentioned David Lee and having that Wild Hog at Arkansas. It was based on, you know, Felix Jones and Darren McFadden as opposed to a quarterback. So this is a little bit different dynamic than what David Lee used at Arkansas. You know, they went from, you know, two running back style Wildcat to now it's quarterback, you know, more versatile running back in Ronnie Brown type oriented. So it's a bit of a different animal. I guess that's why you go from a hog to a cat, but it's it'll be interesting to see how they use him. And I think that how Pat White translates this year as a rookie will definitely impact how other teams see Tim Tebow. If Pat White has a big year, if they're able to use him as a very flexible player, you know, get him to throw, use his running abilities, then I think, you know, Tebow is going to – let's put it this way. Tim Tebow should be rooting for Pat White this year when it comes to where he's going to get drafted in 2010 and what kind of signing bonus he's going to get.
Oh, I'm sure. I guess we're going to officially call it now the Pat White Pat offense, you know?
Right. The and Wild Pat.
Exactly. And you have to wonder really fast, and I'm going to let you go, is that if Pat White comes out and say he lines up in the slot, he lines up outside and he catches 20 passes. Say he has two or three touchdown catches. He throws three or four touchdowns and he runs for three or four off the Wildcat. This is a guy that you could be talking about as a possible winner for Rookie of the Year.
Oh, I think so. And especially when you look at not just those stats. I mean, those stats would be interesting enough, but this offense is just made to order for highlight reels. So you start getting a guy in the general cycle for highlight reels on ESPN or your nightly sportscast or what have you. You know, he very well could be the talk of the NFL by, say, week four or five. Just because it's going to be fun, and people latch on to stuff like this. It's why Ronnie Brown made the Pro Bowl last year. It wasn't based specifically on his numbers. It was based on the fact that he was so thrilling to watch on those highlight reel plays.
There you go. Tim Graham always bringing it strong on the program. You can catch his terrific work once again, ESPN.com. Does a terrific job covering the AFC East and just does a great job overall for ESPN. Tim, you're a good friend. I appreciate your input on the show. I know you got to run. Again, can't thank you enough, my friend.
Anytime, Brian. I appreciate it, and I enjoy doing it.
You got it. Take care, my friend. There you go. Tim Graham from ESPN offering an input here on the NFL Spectacular on B-Spec Brian Spector. Taking you the rest of the way this next hour, 40 minutes left here on the program. A lot to talk about, folks. Matt Williamson from ESPN and Scouts, Inc. Also expecting Matt to stop by and join us on the show. And, folks, it just happens to work out this way. We have breaking news now on ESPN. Brett Favre and Minnesota Vikings head coach Brad Childress are going to meet this week. This is the most asinine, ridiculous story that is out there. I don't give a rat's ass about Brett Favre anymore. He stepped away. He retired. Stay retired. The Green Bay saga was bad enough. That was bad enough. Then you work your way into a trade. You get traded to the Jets. We all know that wasn't the ideal situation he wanted to go to. But you can't say, oh, well, I don't want to go to the Jets. Beggars can't be choosers. He went to the Jets. He tanked the end of that season. Those last four games, they fell apart. He couldn't make a throw. He couldn't complete a pass. He had the shoulder surgery. Then he hurts the elbow. Again, that last game against the Miami Dolphins. He is just tarnishing his legacy. Brett Favre is completely tarnishing his legacy. If Brad Childress meets with Brett Favre, who's 40 years old, this is without a doubt the stupidest move you can possibly make. Where's the credibility? Tavoris Jackson played well in spurts last year. He's still young. Now you're screwing around with his development. You bring in Sage Rosenfels, who's played some games. Good strong arm. Good quarterback. You have those two guys. Now you're going to bring in Brett Favre for a year. You give up a draft pick to bring in Sage. Why not let Sage and Tavoris Jackson battle this out? You're going to bring in Brett Favre for 1 year? Is Brett Favre really going to put you over the top if you're Minnesota? Is Brett Favre going to put the Minnesota Vikings in the Super Bowl? No, he isn't. And if anybody out there thinks otherwise, you're a fool. I know if you're a Minnesota fan, you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, if we get Brett Favre, you're getting Brett Favre at 40 years old, not Brett Favre at 30. I know you have Percy Harvin and Bernard Berrian and Sidney Rice and Adrian Peterson and the number one run defense in the league. I know it's sexy to think about it, but you can't have it. I don't understand why you would want any part of this Brett Favre saga. All he does now is he brings drama every single place he goes. Is he a proven winner? Yes. Is he going to get you the Super Bowl? Exactly. He's not going to get you the Super Bowl. Let's put it this way. Do the Minnesota Vikings have a lot of talent? Are they a playoff team? Yes. Has Green Bay improved? Yes. The division is going to be between them and Green Bay. We all know that. Fine. The Arizona Cardinals are the NFC champions from last year. Are they better than the Cardinals? Are they better than the Philadelphia Eagles? Are they better than the New York Giants? The Atlanta Falcons. There are a lot of question marks. I'd say, you know what? If all those teams weren't in the mix, fine. Go for it. What do you have to lose? Brett Favre's motivation clearly was not there with the New York Jets at the end of last season. The game against Seattle. The game against Miami. If the Jets win that game against Miami, they're more than likely in the playoffs. Brett Favre clearly didn't give a damn. And let's not get fooled. The Jets released him from that unretired list so he can come back and sign with whoever he wants. He can come back, and Brett Favre did that because he wanted his outright release from the Jets. And he says he's retiring, files the papers, decides to unretire, he could come back and sign with whomever he wants. And he hired a personal trainer over in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. He might be training in high school with those high school kids, but he's got a personal trainer now. Brett Favre will be the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, and he's destroying his legacy as far as I'm concerned. Green Bay riff goes, the Jets retires, unretires, retires again. Now he's going to go play for the Minnesota Vikings. Absolutely mind-boggling to think this is what he's going to do. You've won a title. You've got nothing left to prove. You've broken passing records. You're a future Hall of Famer. Everything he could have strived to accomplish at the National Football League level, he has accomplished. What's the point? He's doing it for his own selfish reasons. He wants to take it back to Green Bay and take it back to Ted Thompson. Maybe Green Bay was wrong, but Brett Favre was clearly not in the right as well. He is acting like a complete child. There's no substance for him doing what he's doing right now. And I'm sick and tired of Brett Favre. And I'm sure a lot of other people are as well. There's a part of me that says, you know what? It's tough to let go of legacies. It was tough for me to watch Joe Montana step away. Tough to watch Dan Marino. Tough to watch John Elway. This is what I grew up with. I'm sure people in another generation, it's tough to watch Kenny Stabler step away. It's tough to watch Fran Tarkenton. What happened to Joe Theismann? All these great quarterbacks. Bart Starr. We can go back and forth. Bob Greasy. All over the place. It's never easy. You could say you had the pleasure to grow up and watch these great quarterbacks play in the game. But now when I think of Brett Favre, I'm going to think of him as nothing but a pain in the ass. Because that's what he is. You want to go back and take and kick it to Green Bay? Kick it to the city? Why would you want to do that? Get revenge against the city? You have a rift with Ted Thompson, that's fine. There's no rift with anybody else. And you know what? If you don't get to the playoffs with Minnesota, you don't win your division, you tarnish your legacy, everyone else is going to have the last laugh. You're going to have to walk away embarrassed. Right now, you can walk away and say, hey, I experimented with the New York Jets. I thought it would work. Maybe I don't have it. It didn't work. I've accomplished all that I've wanted to. Now I'll step away. In a text message to ESPN's Trent Dilfer, he says he doesn't plan on coming back. Why are you lying? Stop with the lies. Stop with the garbage. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. And by Brad Childress reaching out and wanting to meet with him, you're just fueling his fire. You're just giving him more ammunition. It's like I just discussed with ESPN's Tim Graham. How long is it going to be before Terrell Owens bitches because the offensive line can't protect Trent Edwards, in which he won't be able to get the ball to T.O.? It's the same thing. The same factor. He is nothing but a prima donna. John Elway stepped away. Marino stepped away. Have your number in Green Bay retired. Go back to Green Bay. Let yourself get honored. Honor the franchise. Let them honor you. Put the jersey on the Raptors at Lambeau Field. Move on with your life. There is life after football. Life isn't over at 30. It isn't over at 40. It's not over at 50, 60, whatever it is. Life changes, and you just have to adjust to it. I was on a Brett Favre conference call when he finally called it quits after the Jets. I want to thank Eric Mangini. I want to thank Mike Tannenbaum. I want to thank this person and that person. Now you're going to come back and play ball again? I'm tired of his press conferences. I'm tired of his conference calls. I'm tired of him, oh, I wanted to sit on the tractor here, and I want to relax on the couch and do more things, play golf, pull weeds, go hunting for deer, because that's what he said on the conference call I was on. Now, supposedly, he's going to come back and play again. Squash the rumors right now and say, hey, listen, Minnesota guys, I'm not coming back. But he's not doing that. He refuses to do that. So as long as he doesn't do that, there's no reason to believe why he's not going to create more controversy, come back, and play football. Why come back and play football? What's the point? You got a family? A wife? They've all been very supportive, Brett. Spend time with your family. By the way, his wife, Deanna, is pretty hot. 347-945-6275 if you want to get in on the show. What are your thoughts on the Brett Favre situation? There are a lot of free agents still out there. Tony Dungy meets with Michael Vick. What's he going to say to Vick that's going to make him a changed man? There's always stuff to talk about in the NFL, folks. 347-945-6275 if you want to get in, offer your input. Another edition of the NFL Spectacular is on the air on B-Spec. Brian Spector going to take you the next half hour. Your calls will drive the show. Expecting Matt Williamson from ESPN Scouts Inc. to join us. We'll talk to Matt about the draft, a lot of free agents that are out there. We'll take a quick break, pause, pay some bills. You're listening to the All Access Football Network. We are All Access Football Sports Time. It is 5:30.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the fantasy football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
What's up, y'all? It's Audley Stevenson.
And I'm Dave Mendonca.
If you're looking for a basketball talk show with civilized conversation,
you give me your picks, I tell you why they're wrong.
Build around it, Dave. Come on. This is Basketball Franchise 101. I got to break it down for you.
Audley, come on. You can't forget the big laughs.
It's a sign of the apocalypse. Dave and Audley are in agreement.
Ole, 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 ole.
And big guest,
Darvin
Ham. This is Troy Jackson, a.k.a.
Hi, I'm Mo Taylor.
NBA Breakdown is a place for you. Catch us Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/the NBA Breakdown for Hoops Talk, the way it should be.
Take it down.
When your dedication to fantasy sports borders on obsession, you need to get some serious help. No, we don't mean psychiatric help. You need the help that can only be provided by Sports Grumblings. Sports Grumblings covers all of the major fantasy sports end-to-end, churning out player updates, news, strategy tips, cheat sheets, and more, including the world-famous Fantasy Forecast Ranking System, the only comprehensive computer-generated prediction system of its kind. We do all the work needed to make your fantasy team successful, so you don't have to. Go to sportsgrumblings.com today and see for yourself why we are Fantasy Sports Center of Excellence.
Welcome back. B-Spec Brian Spector with you here on the NFL Spectacular. Taking your calls. We'll take you the next 28 minutes here on the program. In case you're just joining us, breaking news, Brett Favre will meet this week with Minnesota Vikings head coach Brad Childress. That is breaking news on the ESPN Newswire. Tony Dungy met with Michael Vick in federal prison. Let me tell you something. I have a ton of respect for Tony Dungy, the family man he is, the religious man that he is, the head coach, everything about Tony Dungy you have to love about the man. But I don't understand why he is meeting with Michael Vick, what the point is. Michael Vick is going to be getting out of federal prison. He's going to want to get back in the league. Whoever takes a shot on him, there's going to be PETA. Maybe the CFL. Ricky Williams went to the CFL. Maybe the UFL will want to get Michael Vick, make a name for their league, be able to sell tickets. I just don't understand what Tony Dungy is going to say to Michael Vick that will make him a better man. Is Tony going to try and give him that positive advice as if you're a shrink? I personally think Tony Dungy is wasting his time. I don't understand what he's going to say to Michael Vick that's going to make him a better man. I think Michael Vick can become a better man based on the experiences, learning from your mistakes. I make mistakes. I learn from them. You all make mistakes. You all learn from them. Life's lessons. Going to jail has got to be a life lesson learned. That experience would make you a better person. But somebody talking to me and telling me what I did wrong and trying to make me feel better, I might feel better based on my situation, but that's not going to make me a better human being in the future based on someone talking to me and giving me advice. So I don't see the whole perspective of why Tony Dungy is going to speak to Michael Vick. I mean, what's Michael Vick going to say to Tony Dungy?
Everywhere I go, all around the world, people still support Mike Vick. So regardless of what I go through, people are going to love me, man.
I don't think he's going to say that to Coach Dungy, that's for sure. I mean, this whole Michael Vick situation, it's crazy now. Can you imagine the day he gets out, he gets off home confinement, he's out walking the streets, and he's not in prison, he's not on probation, and he's just a civilian again. Can you imagine that day?
Michael Vick was the reason I got it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm having problems understanding why. I think Dungy's wasting his time. I think Michael Vick has been through enough and gotten advice from so many people. He doesn't need more advice. I mean, is Tony Dungy going to prepare him for his conversation with Commissioner Goodell whenever that happens? I per se just don't see that Maybe it will be beneficial. I just don't see how it's going to be beneficial for Michael Vick. A lot of news still out there in the NFL, too, outside of Brett Favre, this Michael Vick situation, the Dallas Cowboy bubble going down. And you have to think, the engineers, the people that built that bubble, I understand there was a storm, a tornado in the area of Dallas. But where's this going to go? How far is the situation going to linger? An assistant scout paralyzed from the waist down. Another coach breaks his vertebrae, doesn't end up paralyzed. Your heart goes out to the Dallas Cowboy organization. My heart goes out to Jerry Jones. There are a lot of teams around the National Football League that have indoor facilities, bubbles, for when it rains. They can practice when it gets too cold, they can practice indoors. There's more than likely going to be an ongoing investigation with this situation. And again, you can't help but feel sorry for all of those involved, friends, family, the organization of the Dallas Cowboys, even owner Jerry Jones. Gut-wrenching situation in Dallas. Will Plaxico Burress find a new team? Braylon Edwards, will he get traded to the Jets? Jets are looking for receivers now. Cleveland's still willing to shop Braylon Edwards. Will Brady Quinn be in Cleveland competing with Derek Anderson? Anquan Boldin still a Cardinal. Where's he going to end up? Darnell Dockett wants out of Arizona. Why does every player want out of Arizona? Dansby trying to get the new contract. Maybe it's because owner Bill Bidwell is cheap. He dresses like a Pee Wee Herman doll. Marvin Harrison is still out there. Jason Taylor is still out there. Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm calling them Linebacker University. They get rid of Joey Porter. Now they get rid of Larry Foote. Only 28 years old, and they have guys that can step right in. Lawrence Timmons is going to step right in. Lamar Woodley, James Harrison. They just breed linebackers, the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you're a team out there looking for a linebacker, Larry Foote's a nice little option for you. 28 years old, he's a winner. Be very interesting to see what happens. Matt Williamson from ESPN will be joining us in the next few minutes if all goes well. 347-945-6275 if you want to have an input on the show, if you want to get in. B-Spec, Brian Spector with you. We're going to take the next 22 minutes up until 6 o'clock. We'll take a quick break, a couple of bills. Hopefully, if all goes well, Matt Williamson will join us on the other side. We are All Access Sports Time. It is 540.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the fantasy football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
What's up, y'all? It's Audley Stevenson.
And I'm Dave Mendonca.
If you're looking for a basketball talk show with civilized conversation,
you give me your picks, I tell you why they're wrong.
Build around it, Dave. Come on. This is Basketball Franchise 101. I got to break it down for you.
Audley, come on. You can't forget the big laugh.
It's a sign of the apocalypse. Dave and Audley are in agreement.
Ole, 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 ole.
And big guest.
Darvin Ham.
This is Troy Jackson, a.k.a. Usley.
Hi, I'm Mo Taylor.
NBA Breakdown is a place for you. Catch us Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/the NBA Breakdown for Hoops Talk, the way it should be.
Take it down.
When your dedication to fantasy sports borders on obsession, you need to get some serious help. No, we don't mean psychiatric help. You need the help that can only be provided by Sports Grumblings. Sports Grumblings covers all of the major fantasy sports end-to-end, churning out player updates, news, strategy tips, cheat sheets, and more, including the world-famous Fantasy Forecast Ranking System, the only comprehensive computer-generated prediction system of its kind. We do all the work needed to make your fantasy team successful, so you don't have to. Go to sportsgrumblings.com today and see for yourself why we are Fantasy Sports Center of Excellence.
D-Spec, Brian Spector with you, taking you the next 19 minutes. Lots to talk about around the NFL. Brett Favre and Brad Childress are going to meet this week, according to ESPN's Ed Werder. I don't get it. I'm just puzzled. And this is going to dominate the airwaves the rest of today, tomorrow. And Brett Favre is getting what he wants, all the attention. He thrives on all of the attention. I really do not get this. Well, let's go to the phones where Matt Williamson from ESPN is supposed to be joining us. Caller, how are you?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing good, my friend. How are you?
I'm swell. This Brett Favre thing's unbelievable, isn't it?
You know, it really is, and it's very shocking, as a matter of fact, and I just personally don't get it.
I don't either, and honestly, I wish he'd go away so people can remember him for, you know, the great player he was with the Packers. I mean, his year with the Jets was worse than people realize. I mean, he couldn't throw the football. I don't know how hurt he was. You never know with him because he's going to play no matter what the injury is. But he couldn't throw the football last year. I mean, he hurt them worse the passing game more than Pennington did from an arm strength standpoint, not to mention all the bad decisions that come with a Brett Favre. I mean, he's turned into Joe Namath of the Rams now.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, with Brett Favre, I still think he can throw the football. The Jets weren't where he wanted to be last year, you know, and Laburnius Coles and Jericho Cotchery are not Greg Jennings and Donald Driver, so that hindered him a little bit as well. I just don't see this. I mean, he's acting like a prima donna. He's personally, in my opinion, destroying his legacy. We all know he didn't want to play with the Jets. And he had a conference call, and he says, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to enjoy my family. I want to go hunting deer. And now he asked the Jets for his retirement papers. And once you're retired, you are no longer the property of a team. You can come back and play for anybody you want. So he's not going to put the Vikings over the top. And he has questionable arm strength now. He just had surgery. And I know you got Percy Harvin, and I know you have Bernard Berry and some speedsters, and you have Sidney Rice, a young player, Adrian Peterson. I know it's sexy if you're a Vikings fan, but all he's doing is just annoying everybody in the league and creating controversy, and I just don't think it's worth it at this point.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I don't think it's an accident at all. You kind of touched on it, that this story comes out after the draft, during this dead period when there's no news, there's nothing else to talk about, so everyone in the world's now going to talk about Brett, and of course he knows it. He knows how the game works. It's annoying to no end. I mean, there's no question about it. You did bring up a good point about the Jets. It was pretty obvious he didn't want to be there. I think it's becoming more and more obvious that Eric Mangini doesn't handle star players very well. I think that's carrying over to Cleveland. So that was a bad marriage. But once you start talking about Minnesota, I don't get it either. I mean, Minnesota makes me crazy with their quarterback position because year after year, they put a Band-Aid on an absolutely gaping wound. And they did the exact same thing this year. They gave up a fourth-round pick to get Sage Rosenfels. And I wrote an article about it on ESPN.com, and I said, for a fourth-round pick, they got better at the quarterback position. So in that way, it was a good move. But Rosenfels is a terrible fit for the Vikings because he's incredibly turnover-prone. He makes a ton of mistakes. If I'm in charge of the Vikings, I want to play great defense led by the Williams brothers in that defensive line, and I want to hand the ball to Adrian Peterson over and over and over, and I want to not turn the ball over, and I'm going to be the most physical team on the field. Rosenfels doesn't fit that at all. So now you look at the Favre situation. Even though he's greatly declined, maybe he's even better than anyone on the roster, and it pains me to say that. But once again, he's a terrible fit because he throws picks after picks, and nobody creates more turnovers for himself than Brett Favre. So once again, they're looking for the wrong kind of guy.
Yeah, and another edition of the NFL Spectacular. I'm B-Spec Brian Spector, and joining me on the All Access Sports Line, a good friend of mine, Matt Williamson from ESPN and Scouts, Inc. And Matt, I know you're busy, and I always appreciate the time here on the show, my friend. It's always great talking to you. And, with this Brett Favre situation, it just seems more to me that he's just becoming more of a prima donna. You know, it's always about him. It's not about the team. What does he have left to accomplish? He's won a title. He's only going down as one of the greatest quarterbacks. I just don't understand why he's having such a hard time to step away when guys like Elway, Marino, and all these great quarterbacks, Montana, that I've even listed throughout the entire show, it hurts. It's painful, but they've all been able to step away, and Brett Favre just can't let it go. And you know what? I'm tired of the story, and everybody's got to be tired of it already.
Oh, it's exhausting. It really is. Last year it was exhausting. Even the year before that, it was exhausting. It's a soap opera every time, this time of the year, all the time. And he isn't good enough to really even worry about anymore is the bottom line. I mean, he isn't an above-average starting quarterback at this point. I don't even know that he is a legitimate starting quarterback. I'm not sure that he's one of the best 32 players at his position anymore. And I would much rather play against him than with him. And I think you touched on it. He just can't turn the page. And he's making himself look foolish, once again.
And he's just destroying his legacy. And you know what? By him going to Minnesota or thinking about the only ideal reason I can think, and there probably are a million of them out there, and everyone's going to have their opinions, he just wants to stick it back in Ted Thompson's face. And yes, Ted was wrong about the way it was handled, but Brett was wrong also. And when two guys are wrong, you both admit your mistakes, you step away, you don't have to like each other. Just be respectful of one another, be cordial when you see each other, and just move on. Brett Favre is 40 years old. He's not 30-year-old Brett Favre, and I just don't think, okay, maybe he has a strong arm, but I just don't think his arm is going to be able to utilize Percy Harvin's speed, Bernard Berrien. You know, people think that even 3 years ago in Green Bay, you know, 3 years ago, Brett Favre at 37 is a big difference between Brett Favre at potential age 40 and coming off the elbow and shoulder injury.
Right. And like I said, watching him last year where, you know, in New York, he couldn't throw the football at all. And maybe he was a lot more injured than anybody knew at the time. But I was very critical of him on a week-to-week basis, saying he can't make the throws anymore. And if you have Brett Favre's head and penchant for, you know, for being a gunslinger, but you don't have those physical tools, you really don't have much. You know, he continually shoots himself in the foot and isn't able to make those throws that no one else can. So all of a sudden, he becomes from a great player to a liability. I mean, I really see it that way. And the other issue here, too, is remember a couple years ago there was the Wizinator thing, there was the Love Boat thing, and Minnesota came out and said, we're not taking any risks on character guys from here on out. We're going the straight and narrow. Well, I don't know Percy Harvin personally, but everyone said that he is one of the absolute most risky person or, you know, character guys at the top of this draft. What do? They compromise their principles. They overlook that, and they go get somebody who's questionable in that regard. That, to me, makes me think that Childress knows he's on the hot seat. He feels like he has to win right now, and for good reason, because he's completely destroyed the quarterback situation, which was sort of a guru situation for him. It's a very non-creative offense, so it makes me think once they do get Percy Harvin there and they start fiddling around with him that they won't even be able to get the most out of what he could bring to the table. And now they're reaching again and looking for another Band-Aid at the quarterback position. So it's poorly run.
Yeah, and Matt, when you and I and Todd McShay, we were all sitting down at the Senior Bowl, and I remember we were all talking about Percy Harvin. There was a group of us, and Percy has that great talent, but he has those questionable foot ankle injuries that can linger with a receiver. There's no guarantee he's going to be healthy enough to play with Brett Favre.
And, you know, if Percy Harvin isn't on the field for Minnesota, and he's got a lot of controversy, like you said, there were supposed positive tests with him at the combine. And you know what, Matt, you're not talking about a real intelligent kid, because this is a guy that, hey, if you know you like to smoke marijuana or whatever it is or do any kind of a drug and you're going to the NFL combine and you know you're going to get tested, why would you be stupid enough to put yourself at risk like that? So you have to think about his character issues. Is his head completely there? And the injury question, maybe Brad Childress is desperate, but you're not looking at a Brett Favre in his prime and a Terrell Owens in his prime where you know, hey, okay, this is a good character guy. He's always healthy. He's going to be on the field for me. And I got a quarterback that's 30, that's healthy, that's always going to be there too. You're just flying risks out there with both those guys. And if both those guys don't play, you're left with Sage Rosenfels and all those makeshift position players. And that hurts your team, and then he's going to end up getting fired.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think this ends well for Childress, the Vikings, Favre, any of the above, really. And they are a contender. I mean, you look at that division, I'm not so sure that they're still not the best team in the division, even with all the questions around them. That division is there for the taking. Chicago's obviously improved. Green Bay's not going to go away. But Detroit's an easy win. And, I mean, I think Minnesota's 1-3 at least to take that division and make a run with it. You got Adrian Peterson. You have the defense. You got to play to your strengths, and I don't think they're doing that at all. And it goes back to personnel evaluation. It goes back to fearing for your job, and it's desperate times, and they're taking desperate measures in turn, which to me never turns out right.
Well, come on, Matt. You know who my favorite personnel guys. You have to look at who's making the personnel decisions there. Rick Spielman. So, I mean, Rick hasn't done the best job of evaluating talent, per se.
That's hard to argue with. And the other issue about Harvin, too, is I don't mind them taking him from a talent and from an athletic standpoint. I mean, he's worth that pick in the draft, but there's a lot of questions about that kid. We touched on the off-the-field issues. You touched about the injuries. But, oh, by the way, he's switching positions. I mean, he really wasn't a receiver at Florida, so to ask him to give you instant gratification as a receiver and be the end-all answer, that might be a long shot.
I guess they think he's going to run the wildcat in Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll get a few direct snaps. There's no question about that.
Matt, again, I really appreciate it. And joining us on the All-Access Sports Line is Matt Williamson from ESPN and Scouts Inc. You can catch his terrific work on ESPN.com. Does an absolute terrific job. Matt, before I let you go, a couple guys on the free agent market, what do you think they end up, or what do you know of on their status right now? Larry Foote comes from Pittsburgh. He's a winner. You live in that Pittsburgh area. Where do you think Larry Foote ends up?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk that he wants to go to Detroit, and I'm guessing that's more or less a done deal. I think he would be an immediate upgrade at their middle linebacker position, and he's not a superstar, but Detroit needs all the solid football players they can get. At least he's a pretty good run player. You know, the Steelers need to make room for Lawrence Timmons, who honestly is about to become a superstar. But I'm kind of shocked it went down the way it did. I mean, Foote's still pretty serviceable, and the Steelers let him go more or less for nothing. You know, if there is an injury there, all of a sudden they're very light inside. So I thought that they would hold on to him and make him play it out. But I think he wants to get out and more or less has a handshake deal done with the Lions.
Jason Taylor.
That's a good question. You know what? I mean, I'm a huge believer in what New England does up there, and I thought their draft was superb as usual. They got their kind of guys. They manipulated the board as they wanted. But they left draft day, to me, was still a gaping hole. They still need a pass-rushing outside linebacker to put up opposite Adalius Thomas. So I don't know if they're still kicking around the Julius Peppers idea or if it's Jason Taylor, but my guess is they're going to bring a veteran in who's proven to play that spot, and that'd be as good as any. But, you know, if Jason Taylor's dancing with the stars and thinking about his acting career and all those wonderful things, do you think that really endears him to Belichick? It's not really a Vrabel type of guy, you know? So I'm not sure where he ends up.
Yeah, and there's talk about him being in Miami with the Dolphins, that the Dolphins might bring him back. Dolphins had another pretty good draft, too, on paper, fulfilled a lot of needs, but they bring in Cameron Wake from the CFL. They might want that veteran. I thought they were going to get a pass rusher. And outside of Cameron Wake, Joey Porter, I mean, Matt Roth isn't that guy. I mean, Charlie Anderson. They got a lot of other guys. You know, Reggie Torboy, that Phil Bonds, but even Jason Taylor in Miami for a one-year stopgap. Whether Miami or New England, you know, he had a rough year, but everybody has a rough year in Washington with the Redskins.
Sure.
Never had injury concerns except that one year. I think New England or Miami are two teams that should really jump on Jason Taylor for the one year.
Yeah, I mean, both those teams have to look at themselves like, hey, we're in the playoffs, we're contenders, we can take a risk on an age guy like this. We have enough at the position that he doesn't have to play 50, 60 snaps a game. You know, I mean, I don't think his body's ready to do that for a 16-game season. Keep him fresh throughout the year, hopefully have him at the peak of his game when the season ends and you enter the postseason. But much like I said about New England, he's not a real Parcells kind of guy either. You know, I mean, he's not a grinder. He's not Mark Bavaro, you know. So that's my concern. Is he tough enough for their head coaches and their decision makers to jump on?
Marvin Harrison, still out there.
Yeah, this one, I bet he either hangs it up or goes back to Indy. And I don't see a good fit for him. I mean, you see a lot of names thrown out there, and, you know, I don't see a team that makes me jump up and down and say, boy, that's where Marvin should go, unless it's going back to Indy to try to make a run, knows the offense, in a dome. I mean, everything, and so much of what they did was based on timing and reps with Peyton. I mean, I don't think he's going to go to a new team and have that, not to mention he's obviously not what he used to be either.
Yep, and the last question I want to ask you, Matt, everybody wants out of Arizona. Will Anquan Boldin be traded, or do you anticipate him being in a Cardinals uniform?
I think he'll stick around. I really do now that it's gone this long. We've gotten past the draft. You got to think Philly's probably out of that market now after drafting Macklin. The Giants maybe still would listen. But, I mean, they just drafted Knicks as well, and I think they would prefer Edwards. The team out there that makes some sense, and it goes back to like what I was saying with New England, is Baltimore, because they're extremely well run. They're a great front office. And I thought they had a good draft, much like New England. But once again, they ignored a pretty major need at the wide receiver position. And that's not something that Ozzie Newsome usually does. So my guess is, he has somebody in mind to bring in, and I don't know who that is.
There you have it. Matt Williamson from ESPN. You can catch his terrific work on ESPN.com. Also does a terrific job with Scouts, Inc. Does a great job covering the draft, NFL on a daily basis. Matt, you're a good friend. I really appreciate the time, and I'm sure I will be talking to you soon, my friend.
Yeah, anytime, bud. Take care of yourself.
You got it, buddy. You too. Matt Williamson from ESPN. Always appreciate his time on the NFL Spectacular. A couple minutes remaining on the show. You want to get in, 347-94.